Data has demonstrated that fintech companies are providing their clients with tremendous value in comparison to the services offered by traditional banks. Their transactional solutions can be up to 80% less expensive, while the cost of remittance can be up to 6 times less expensive. Now, this brings us to the question that has been plaguing everyone's minds ever since fintech companies established a market share in Africa. Can fintechs erase the traditional banks? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wagit, What's Good in Tech, and I am your host, Shionko Shredo. Today's episode is sponsored by CWEG and FifthLab, and we'll be discussing can fintech erase banks today. I have two legends in the building beside me here. Of course, they will be giving us an in-depth understanding of the relationship between fintech and traditional banking. Beside me here, I have the money man, the chief operating officer of CWEG, Mr. Afolabi Shobande. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you, Shion.
And just beside him, I have the intellectual and tech guru herself, Moradike Akintola, the business director of platforms at FifthLab. Welcome to the show, Moradike.
Welcome. Thank you.
So I'm just going to jump right into it. And I'm starting from Moradike. Over the last few years, we have witnessed the exponential growth and acceptance of startup fintech companies like Carbon, Kuda, and Flutterwave. And by the vast majority due to the accessibility and convenience, especially among youth. Now, do you think that fintech is the future of the financial services industry? And why do you think so?
Okay, so I'll first of all say that the fintech today, which we call the financial technology, they have the ability or the potential to actually disrupt the financial service space. I won't really go direct to say it's the future because I know the traditional bank or the other financial institution are also pulling their weight. But I see that things are tending towards that more disruption because the fintech provide that ease. They provide the convenience. They ensure that customers have access to financial services. They can manage their financial services as fast as possible. And when you look at technologies that this fintech use, you will see it's mind-blowing. They go to as far as using AI. They go as far as using blockchain. They go as far as using big data analysis on what they do. And if you look today, the rapid growth of digital solution like mobile banking that even the traditional banks don't have as much as it is, creates that ease for people to access their financial services. So today I can easily look out for services like lending, can easily get loan as fast as possible. Today I can do savings at convenience, fast and better, rather than with respect to the commercial bank. So I would say the future tends towards that, but not really clear that that is the way, but it's tending towards it. Why I would say so is some of those reasons I've given with respect to things that fintech actually do.
Okay, thank you, Dike. I might be wrong, but I feel like I have two opposing sides here. Dike is representing the fintechs and COO, like we like to call him, is representing the traditional banks. Anyways, now over to you, COO. In today's world, we see traditional banks as well setting up fintechs. Do you think in the nearest future they will evolve into fintech and crash their traditional structure, or will both of them coexist?
Thank you, Shil. I think that to answer your question straight, they will coexist.
Okay.
First thing that we need to understand is that the primary purpose of the bank is for financial intermediation, taking from the supply side of the economy and giving to the deposit side. Why I understand that the fintechs are using technology to provide services, but the main objective of banking itself is still what the banks focus on, and that is why it looks as if they are not agile. Let's not forget that there are regulations, they are in a regulated environment, and you know that where regulation is, it hinders your agility and creativity at times. So that is the main challenge for the traditional banks. But I believe that as technology evolves, they will coexist.
Okay. So Duke, on the other side, while traditional banks are setting up fintechs, we see fintechs evolving into traditional banks, microfinance banks. For example, Kuda, I like to say, they started from fintech, I stand to be corrected, and they have evolved into a microfinance bank. Does that mean that being a standalone fintech isn't working?
Not necessarily. I would rather say that I've seen a lot of successful fintechs today. Why some are looking at that business strategy to go into banking or evolving into microfinance bank or actual banking, might be more of expanding some of their offerings or also part of regulation.
Okay.
So they want to have better clarity because today I know there are regulations that also impact the innovative ideas that fintech bring on board. So some go into that. You talked about Kuda. I still see Kuda as a digital bank, not really the bank, the traditional banking per se.
Right.
And when you look at it, even in the licensing that CBN gives today, there is no really license for a digital bank. It is you have to use a microfinance bank license. So yes, they are evolving, but they are still standalone fintech that are doing very well, that have not really evolved. But it's more about the collaboration, it's more about expanding your business, and it's about the fintech strategy.
Okay. So CEO, for merging of fintech and traditional banking, do you think it's merely time dependent, or do you think that the traditional banks will be bowing out soon?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because they do different things when you want to look at it from a strategic point of view. Yes, the fintech, the focus is more of enabling financial transactions using technology. Like I said earlier, for the banks, they have other core areas where they do lending, deposits. Yes, fintechs also do a bit of lending and deposits. But if you want to look at it, that's at the retail level, at the personal individual level. But don't forget that the entire ecosystem that need either the banking services or the financial services transcends beyond individuals and the young minds who are in tune to technology, and they want technology in use for everything that they do. Because of that, the banks will continue to be relevant to cater for other segments of the market. Let's not forget that the fintech appeals to the youths. Yes, and there are a large population. Where do we put the older generations, the elderly? They will still prefer to go into their brick and mortar bank, do their transaction, which they feel that is more secured. Let's not forget that there is a perception also out there with the elderly generation, which you can't change no matter how fantastic the technology is. My dad will still go into the bank to do his transaction. You tell him, oh, but you can do your transfer on your mobile banking. You can use this app. It will tell you, I don't feel secured until I talk to someone. And you can't take those people out of the market in itself, because they are part of the ecosystem in which they need that service. So because of that, the banks will still continue to remain relevant.
Okay. So I understand a bit about fintechs being positioned for youths, but from observation, I think that they have also positioned themselves for the elderly by setting up agency banking units or agency banking services. Do you want to talk a bit about this?
Yes, but don't forget that the mindset is still there, where you would attribute who you are dealing with an entity. Agency is fine, but you can't say agent A is, for example, bank B, because they are not carrying that bank. While, yes, you will see some elderly towing that line, also going through the agency banking, but a lot of work has to be done. A lot of confidence is still required to ensure that they believe that the agents or the agency banking network work for the bank or for the fintech, for them to be able to have that trust rather than follow the traditional bank, they go to the agency banking. Also, I must say that most of the services of the fintech also runs on the platform of the banks. Banks are the engine that actually push all this because they have all the required license to do whatever, the required license to complete the entire financial transaction. So because of that, there is always a place for the traditional banks.
Okay, so Dike, let's talk a bit about regulation, right? The traditional banking system is heavily regulated. Fintech system, not so much. But however, there are still some regulations that are limiting the capacity of the fintechs. For example, we know a brand that was perceived as Bank of the Free, but as a result of regulation, they had to change that positioning and find a way to survive and thrive. In your opinion, will you say that fintechs are struggling with regulation, number one? Why do you think, if they are, why do you think so? And how would they survive and swim regardless of how unfriendly the market can be?
Okay, so yes, I would say the fintech are actually struggling with, not using the word struggle, but they are being challenged by the regulation that we have today. And like I said earlier, that this regulation hinder innovative ideas. Not to take away the fact that things must be done properly, and not to take away the fact that if you don't regulate some things, it could go out of proportion. So the fintech, yes, are faced with a challenge. Are we getting away or looking for other alternative towards this thing? Is creating that, using technology to also help you solve some of this regulation. A majority of this regulation goes around your how you take your KYC. Yes, because that is where it is.
Sorry,
yes.
Just for the benefits of people that don't know the meaning of KYC.
Know your customer.
Great.
Yes, so ability to take that KYC,
okay,
to be able to know who is this customer that is doing transaction, to ensure that your services or your platform are not using for money laundering or using for fraudulent transactions. So technology is evolving, and that is what the fintech are looking at. How do I make knowing my customer fast as possible? And that's why we talk about the digital onboarding. So they make digital onboarding very simple. That's the traditional market to, or the traditional banking today are not getting it. So we're looking around beyond the know your customer. Every other regulation around reporting and ensuring that is still being captured. Irrespective of the fact that, like the bank, which you said, oh, they were bank for the free, but today they had to put in some things. Yes, but that did not take away the fact that the services being provided is fast, is convenient, which I'm not leaving my comfort zone, and I still get my banking services delivered to me. I look at the population today, statistics tells us that in Africa today, the average age is 19 years. So it's telling us that the customers of this traditional bank are tending towards the youth. Yes, fintech will have regulation, but we're already beating it with technology. You will struggle at first, but even the youth are also understanding the fact that this regulation must stay in place. There is also regulation around the cryptocurrency and the stuff. But even the traditional bank is also beginning to understand the fact that blockchain and all these cryptos needs to come in place, because that is the future. Technology is tending towards that direction. You using technology to maneuver your way, if I want to use that word, to ensure that you don't break the bank, you stay within the regulatory confinement. By the end of it, all we deliver services. If you look at that bank that you mentioned, they still have more within the short space. They were also able to onboard more customers than you have for the traditional bank.
Okay. So CEO, picking up from what Dike said, do you think that the traditional banks are being threatened by fintechs? Are fintechs giving traditional banks a run for their money?
Yes, in a way, because something must push an individual, an entity to look forward. It's a journey. It's a new dimension. And I think the traditional banks are responding well. Not forgetting their own inherent limitations in terms of size, regulation, and all that. And they are responding appropriately.
Okay.
They are responding appropriately.
Okay, so I know that you mentioned as well, CEO, that the fintechs have to depend on the traditional banking system as well. However, let's paint a scenario. What if this fintech didn't need to depend on the traditional banking system to survive and thrive? They had their own resources to make things happen. Asking the question directly, will fintechs erase banks?
No.
Why?
No, because those services that they are riding on the back of banks are where the regulation lies. So if you take away the banks, the regulations on the banks would be on the fintechs, and you will have the same scenario play out where they will be slow to respond. Their agility will be reduced, their level of creativity will be reduced, because we must understand the objective of the regulators. First, their own primary objective is to ensure that they protect consumers, and that is why you have consumer protections all around the world. Every country has their own consumer protection, just to ensure that organizations don't ride on consumers and exploit consumers. When you begin to have that, it reduces a little bit your creativity, your agility, your time to market. It's not as if technology will not help, but then again, it would slow down in terms of what you can offer. Then secondly, we must also understand that we are in the era in which technology drives everything. The good thing about the fintech is that they are evolving from a technology company to provide financial services. Of course, the traditional banks have their traditional objective. However, using technology is something now that they are now trying to catch up with. So in terms of their services that they are rendering, there is no problem. It's just how they provide those services that is the difference, in my view. And since they are catching up, they are also able to invest in technology in the way they feel that they should. Then I think that both the banks and the fintech will actually coexist and collaborate. Also, you will see, because of what we've seen, especially within our own geographical space, Nigeria, where you see in recent time where consumer protection is coming hard on the fintechs in the way fintechs go about their lending business for those that have gone into lending business. They now all of a sudden realize the challenges the traditional banks also face in that in terms of lending to the customers. And that is what regulation does for you. When you are unable to go as fast as you want to, then you have to think through how you want to execute your strategy, provide your service to your customers, and then ensure that you remain relevant within your space. So because of that, even if you take the traditional banks' support system in which they provide to the fintechs, the fintechs would, if I can put it this way, find themselves like the banks, because you will now see increased regulation. So what is happening currently now is that the banks are shouldering the bigger part of the regulation while the fintechs are free. So it is easy for them to do all that, while the banks will continue to be pushed down by those regulations. And the regulation is no way killing business. It's just to protect everybody.
Okay, Dike, do you agree with the CEO's point of view? Do you think that the fintech can erase banks? If you think so, or if you do not think so, can you discuss a bit about it?
Okay, so I would also say that actually the fintech would not erase the bank, because I see more of collaboration. But if the banks are not upping up the games, then there is an aspect where you have a bank that is like a fintech, but is actually moving in space, showing that those regulations are there, but those traditional financial services doing things the old way will be going out of the space. Today, you'll see that a lot of people do not want to just go to the banks. Yes, we still have a lot of people in the banking hall, but when you ask those simple questions to the fact that will you prefer to have convenience, will you prefer to do your transaction faster and better, they would say yes. So I see more of the fintechs working with the banks. I see more of the banks using the fintechs to drive that reach that they could not do, using the fintechs to do the agility that they could not achieve, using the fintechs to create that convenience that they could not achieve. That's what I see. So I won't really say the fintechs would erase the bank.
Okay, thank you, Dike. So, CEO, coming back to you, just because you mentioned consumer protection. Now, my question is, consumer protection laws, are they working in Nigeria? I'm deviating a bit, forgive me, especially in this era of cyber fraud. So if it's working, how is it really protecting the customers?
I will say that the consumer protection is actually working. What we must understand is that when it comes to fraud, the people within that space are always ahead. So they try to beat every system, and that is why you have hackers. Their job is solely to see a loophole in your system and they would exploit. So there is little consumer protection can do, and that is also the reason why it looks as if the banks are also not agile, because for them they get a penalty. And I can take the Nigerian banking space, where you have a fraud where it is established that consumer, which is the customer of the bank, has not compromised any of the details, and yet it was defrauded. We know that there are regulations that mandate the bank to ensure a refund to the customers, and because of that, there is little that the banks can do when it comes to hackers. Any system is not foolproof. There is no system in the world that is foolproof. So because of that, when the losses are much and there is a regulation compelling them, you will see some kind of holdback. And those are one of the things that was affecting the traditional banks to go all out for technology. But because of the competition from the fintech space, they are trying as much as possible to respond in a way that doesn't exposes them to the kind of potential liability that the fintechs could have. And we must also understand that the consumer protection laws, when it comes to fintech, is also evolving. This is a new, relatively new space, and we are seeing more and more activities within that space. By the time that industry gets matured, you will see a lot from the consumer protection agencies just to ensure that consumers and customers of these institutions are protected.
Okay, got it. So what I'm getting here is collaboration. So we're saying that fintechs might not necessarily erase banks, or fintechs will not erase banks, and banks will not erase fintechs. Dickie, do you think that banks will erase fintechs? I'm not sure that's a conversation that we've had. Dickie, what do you think? Do you think banks will erase fintechs? That's never
going to be possible.
Okay.
Yes, because technology today is evolving. And also with respect to the demand of customer too, COVID came in and changed the entire norm that we have. Before you would prefer to go to the bank because you want to see physical, but COVID taught us a different aspect to life, and which is now the new normal. So people are now beginning to embrace convenience. And when you look at that convenience, is what the banks cannot give you. They still believe in the physical structure for you to come in and the physical see you. But the fintech is saying, wait a minute, I can give you this convenience even at your lying bed, you're sitting on your bed, and you transfer money as easy and fast as possible. You invest, you have to save and all those stuff. So I don't see anywhere that the traditional bank will actually erase. I see that technology will even change the norm, and also customer demands and behavior. Let me use that word. The behavior of the customer is sitting towards convenient, fast, secured, and then trusted.
Okay, so do you agree with what Dike said? But considering the fact that we have banks that have been here for over 129 years, we have a bank that has been here for over 129 years, we have banks that have been here for over 20 years, and we have not necessarily seen fintechs mature to that stage. So do you think banks can actually erase fintechs?
No, I agree with Dike, but okay. I would also like to say that let's see whether the fintechs will be able to stand the test of time.
Okay.
Do 129 years.
Oh, yeah, no.
And then we'll see.
I don't forget that we have banks that came on board and they went under the ground. Right. So that happens.
You also have fintechs over the shortest period of time came on board. And I think the most important thing, and what's it's the most important thing for everybody, is the use of technology.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most outstanding thing that is happening within this generation now. Technology pushing anywhere, even beyond the financial services. You have technology in other industry pushing the giving a ride for money for the traditional way of doing things and doing business in itself. So it is not only in the financial service industry that technology is changing the dynamics, but it is in all aspects of our lives.
Okay, so let's just talk about the future a bit. Can you do a projection of the future for these two entities that we have identified? What's the future looking like for both?
I think it's great.
Okay.
They will continue to coexist and they will collaborate more. And I think that financial transactions will become easier. You'll be able to consummate your transactions much more easier than what we have now.
Okay, Dike, what about you?
Yes, I think the future looks bright for both in terms of collaborating. And I see that banking will become a part of our everyday life, where you're in the parking lot, you're going out. You don't need to go to anybody to pay. You drive out, you get your account debited immediately. Because you did a transaction, you get a voucher for it because of those. So it's becoming a part of our everyday life. And both the fintechs and the banks coexisting and collaborating together, the future looks very bright.
I hope you will allow me answer this question. When are we going to introduce Scan to Pay in Nigeria? Scan to Pay.
Okay.
When?
No, we actually have scan to pay.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes, there is scan to pay. The major thing is adoption.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and that also takes us to the fact that Africa and using Nigeria, we're developing in terms of technology. Adoption rate would be faster. When you look at the rate at which smartphone penetration, because you need some level of technology, even on your phone, to be able to use a scan to pay. So definitely you need a smartphone. So you look at the number of smartphones that will come on board. So that adoption is actually increasing. It's not that it's not there, but it's not common, because people are just trying to embrace that aspect of it. But it's easier and it's better.
Mm. Okay, so did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah,
okay.
I think the scan to pay is just part of the contactless technology in using technology. And I can say that there are even regulations that also mandate banks that you have a contactless feature on the ATM. So like Muradike said, it's more of adoption. The technology is here with us. It's working. For people who are technology savvy, they use that.
Okay, thank you so much, CEO and Dike, for your time. We've come to the end of today's episode. If there's anything that I have gotten from today's show, it is collaboration. So fintechs and traditional banks will continue to coexist for a long period. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode, we have been talking about can fintech erase banks? And I've had two legends in the studio. Right beside me is the Chief Operating Officer of CWG, Mr. Folabi Shobande. And beside him is the Business Director of Platforms Fifth Lab, Muradike Akintola. It has been super insightful. And remember, if you have not subscribed to the podcast, hit the subscription link that you can see right now and subscribe. I remain your host, Sheon Koshwedo. Join us on another episode next time on What's Good in Tech. This episode, again, is sponsored by CWG and Fifth Lab. Thank you.